Hi, everybody. Welcome to episode 494 of the Professional Book Nerds Podcast, presented by Overdrive. This is Adam, joined by Jill. Jill, how's it going?
Good. How are you? Well, I shouldn't say good. That's like my...
I know. It's like...
I'm like my default automatic answer. And then I'm like, wait, it's the Wednesday after the election when we're recording this.
Yeah.
These are not really good.
Yeah. I mean, we're not like... People know where we stand politically, but we're not a political podcast. But just so everyone knows, we're recording this at 9:30 on Wednesday morning. Jill, we were just talking about, Jill went to sleep much earlier than I did. I got like 4 hours of sleep last night. But we're not going to talk about that stuff because A, we don't know anything right now, and B, it won't matter by the time you hear this on Thursday or beyond. So instead, we're just going to talk about like a book or two that each of us have been reading. And then because it's November, Jill has done NaNoWriMo and is currently doing NaNoWriMo. So if people out there are doing it as well, I thought it'd be fun. You could like walk them through your process and any tips and things that you've been doing, just because, you know, it's something to talk about and it's November.
It is.
So we'll put all the notes or everything in the show notes, like any book we talk about, but also just want to remind people at the top. So we have a couple of live events coming up that you can register for. I'll put the links in our show notes for those as well. In a week, on November 10th, we will be doing a big library read event with Ryan LaSala, who's the author of Reverie. It's going to be fun.
It is going to be fun.
The three of us, Jill, Ryan, and I had a planning meeting earlier this week.
Planning makes it sound far more organized than it actually was. It was really just the three of us just being like, what do we want to talk about?
That's so true. We're going to have a really good time. It'll be really fun. So you can register for that. Also, if you are partaking in Big Library Read, you go to biglibrary.com. There's a discussion board there. So if you want to ask some questions ahead of time, we'll take some of those that we will ask Ryan. It's going to be really, really fun. And then in a much different tone, but really, really important, on Monday, November 16th at 12 p.m. Eastern time, we're going to do a special social justice conversation with Layla F. Saad. She's the author of Me and White Supremacy. This is the only like kind of promotional thing she's doing for the rest of the year about Me and White Supremacy. So we're really fortunate that she wanted to join us with that. So we'll have a conversation just about, you know, racial equality, and honestly, we'll probably talk about stuff like the election and the voter turnout and everything going on in the country. But again, you can register for that as well. And you can, there's a link in the registration. Again, it's all in the show notes, but there's a link in the registration for the Layla one that you can submit questions to us ahead of time as well. Just full disclosure, she's done some events where there has been like some racist trolls and people who weren't super great. So we're going to have the chat and everything just kind of on lockdown for that one so that we don't have to worry about any of that. Not concerned with our listeners. You're all awesome. But just, you know, so you know, if you want to ask questions to Layla, you'll want to do that ahead of time. So those will all be in the show notes. And then in December, the very beginning of December, we're going to do it with Marie Benedict, who is one of our most favorite people. And she wrote a book about Agatha Christie, but we'll talk more about that.
Yeah, she did.
Closer.
No, we like y'all, when you find out more about this, like our timing for this particular thing event with Marie Benedict was very intentional, and I'm very excited for it.
Yeah, it's gonna be so fun. And for people who have listened for a while, Marie is just so much fun. She is definitely one of those people where when we interview some people, we ask, like, we have a lot of questions prepared, and then sometimes we just don't. Marie is one of them, like, we could ask her one question and then she could just talk for like 40 minutes. So it'll be really fun.
Yeah,
I'm excited.
Yeah.
Okay, so if you want to get a hold of us, you can go to professionalbooknerds.com. You can find us on Twitter and Instagram at ProBookNerds. You can email us at professionalbooknerds@overdrive.com. You can ask us for some book recommendations and things like that. Quick break, talk about today's sponsor. The stress of daily life weighs on all of us. You know, whether you're an elite athlete or just a regular person trying to get through the day, you know, muscle pain and muscle tension is a real thing. And that's why I use Theragun, the handheld percussive therapy device that releases your deepest muscle tensions using a scientifically calibrated combination of depth, speed, and power. And now it's as quiet as an electric toothbrush. That's because the all-new Gen 4 Theragun has a proprietary brushless motor that's so quiet you're going to wonder if it's even on. And it's going to be soothing your aching muscles with Theragun's signature power, amplitude, and effectiveness. I've actually been using Theragun for a long time, much longer than when they came on as a sponsor, for a variety of reasons. One, I'm a distance runner. I ran my first marathon earlier this year. And I usually run like 20 to 30 miles a week. And I got a Theragun a few years ago back at a half marathon I was running. And I got it because I wanted to, you know, really work on the sore muscles that would occur in my legs after these long runs, you know, whether it's like my thighs or my calves or my quads. And it works great for all of those things. But what I've discovered over this year as we've been, you know, working from home is I sit in a chair that is definitely not designed to be sat in for 8 to 10 hours. So I've been using it on my, you know, back pain and just, you know, my shoulders. I carry a lot of tension up my shoulders. I've been using the Theragun basically to relieve not only the stress and soreness that I get from running, I've also been just using it for those daily aches and pains that sitting in a chair that is not designed for this much daily use is causing me. So I just love Theragun, and I'm so excited for you guys to try Theragun for 30 days. And there's no substitute for the Theragun Gen 4 with an OLED screen, a personalized Theragun app, and it's the quiet and power that you need. So starting at only $199, if you go to theragun.com/PBN right now and get your Gen 4 Theragun today. That's theragun.com/PBN. theragun.com/PBN. Do you want to talk about NaNoWriMo, or do you want to talk about a book or two that you've enjoyed first?
How about we talk book, then nano, then books?
Book, nano, books. Okay. I'll let you start if you would like.
Okay. So the first one I'm going to talk about is Spoiler Alert by Olivia Dade, y'all. This book is amazing. So imagine if one of the actors from Game of Thrones, who was very unhappy with the final season, like, why would they be unhappy? But let's pretend that one of the actors from Game of Thrones was very with the storyline for their character on Game of Thrones in the final season. And so they take that frustration out by writing fix it fan fiction, where they basically like ship their own character, but write fan fiction that takes it in a different direction and sort of does what they would have hoped the TV show does. So are you with me? For full disclosure, Olivia Dade is a huge Game of Thrones fan. Her book, Spoiler Alert, is somewhat of a Jaime Bren thing. So like, imagine if, Jaime Lannister was writing fan fiction about Game of Thrones because he didn't like the way Jaime Lannister was handled on the show. Obviously that's not his real name, but I forget how to pronounce it right now, and I don't want to make it myself. Okay. So he's writing fan fiction under a name that nobody knows, because if the producers of the show, which is actually about, in the book, the show is about Greek gods. In the show, the showrunners would basically like sue him if they find out he's writing this fan fiction. So on the flip side, we have a fan of the show who also is writing fan fiction, and she does cosplay and all sorts of cool stuff. And then her name's April, and April is plus size, and she does a cosplay thing that she puts on Twitter that goes viral, and because people are mean and not fun, start making like rude comments. And so the actor from the show ends up on Twitter asking her out, and they go out, and it seems like a publicity stunt, but they end up actually liking each other. What they don't know, and what he discovers on their first date, is they're actually like fan fiction best buddies. So on their, you know, like fan fiction website or whatever, they like chat all the time as best friends, but they don't know. He discovers this and doesn't tell her, and it's like a whole thing. So it's a little bit like Game of Thrones meets You've Got Mail. That is amazing. It is so good. It is a romance. It's a little steamy, I will tell you that. But oh God, it's just like everything. And it somewhat made me feel better about the end of Game of Thrones, just because I'm like, yeah, I could actually totally see the actors like writing fan fiction. Something about that is so amazing to me. And there's like a whole, you know, like con element where there's cosplay and the actors show up, and oh god, it's delightful. So that's spoiler alert by Olivia Dade.
So one of the ones I want to talk about is one that you actually talked about a couple months ago, I think. And when you did, I immediately put it on my TBR list, and it was Shit Actually by Lindy West.
Oh yeah.
So for people who might not have heard Jill talking about it, Lindy used to be, and you know more about Lindy West than I do, so correct me if I'm like getting any of this wrong, but she used to be a film critic before she began writing kind of like memoirs and more like, I don't want to say culturally relevant stuff because movies are culturally relevant, but like,
I don't know if film critic is quite the right word for it. She would write columns basically where she would go and watch movies she hadn't seen in a while for, I can't remember what publication it was, like an online, you know, like an online site like Jezebel or Slate or something like that. Yeah.
So it's called Shit Actually because it's very much based on like her most popular one, which was her critique of Love Actually, which is hilarious, which is in Shit Actually. You can read it in there. But as I believe you mentioned, her like favorite movie, or as she calls it, the greatest movie ever made, is The Fugitive. And so she rates all of the movies that she talks about based on 1 out of 10 DVDs of The Fugitive, which is so funny. She goes just like into detail about all of these movies that she either loves or hates, and provides you with just a hilarious breakdown of the movies. Like you don't have to have seen them to understand what they're about, because she explains them in a very, very funny way, and then gives her her rating for each of them. Mm-hmm. So it was just like, I think I tweeted it out, like I had so much fun in a week that I've been insanely stressed out. Like I listened to the audiobook, and so I basically had like 7.5 or 8 hours of Lindy West making me laugh while I was, you know, running and walking the dogs and cooking. Like it's so delightful. She does I think Reality Bites and Jurassic Park. I love the Jurassic Park chapter.
Jurassic Park one was good. So yeah,
funny. There's a bunch of them, and it's just it was so soothing. And to hear the way that she talks about stuff is so great. Oh, she does Face Off with Nick Cage.
Oh god, that was
Her breakdown of Face Off with Nick Cage and John Travolta is so funny. And she does this thing where she says the word face off like every other sentence.
She does.
She's like, you're not gonna believe it, but they have to face off with one another in a face off for the ages. Also, she does The Rock with Sean Connery,
mm-hmm.
and also Nick Cage.
Mm-hmm.
And I highly recommend the audiobook, not only because she's hilarious, but she does just the best Sean Connery impersonation.
Oh, see, that would be worth it alone. I might have to do that.
Yeah, it's so funny. And like, again, it's something where you can, if you're reading it or listening to it, you know, you can do it a chapter at a time, like just wherever you're at, or you can do what I did, which is quite literally binge the whole book in like two sittings, because it was an audiobook. But it was a nice way to forget about all of these stresses that I'm experiencing right now. So that's Shit Actually by Lindy West. And do you want to talk about Nano stuff?
Yeah, I will. I will say though that I said something about this before we started recording. I don't really watch comedic movies, and I don't really read comedic books except for like essays. This book literally made me laugh out loud several times, to the point where I had to put it down because I was crying so hard I was laughing. So
I definitely was trying to, I was doing the thing where like I was talking to my siblings on a text thread and trying to like tell them the jokes that I was listening to, but I wasn't giving them context, and I also was only giving them like a paragraph as opposed to like a whole chapter, and they're like, I don't really get why that's so funny. I was like, I'm telling it wrong. Imagine I'm telling it right. Highly recommend.
Highly. Good stuff. Nano. So for those that don't know, NaNoWriMo stands for National Novel Writing Month. It is an annual event that takes place every November, where writers from all over sort of, you know, make a goal of writing 50,000 words between November 1st and November 30th. A true NaNoWriMo writer, or I guess that's not, I don't want to say it that way. So I'm a NaNo rebel in that the piece I'm working on, I had started before November. So, you know, like within the guidelines, a lot of people, if they feel to be authentic NaNo writer, NaNoWriMo, you have to start on November 1st with a brand new story you have not written anything for yet. There's a little flexibility, plus the world's on fire, so whatever, do whatever you want.
there are no rules.
There are no rules. That's what I say. There are no rules. Yeah, so I completed NaNoWriMo last year. I wrote my 50,000 words. I actually finished a couple days early. And so I'm at it again with a new book, a fun story. About a month ago, I actually signed with a literary agent using the book that I wrote for NaNo last year. So awesome. It can happen. It can happen. It can happen. You too could possibly, you know, a year later have an agent. Yeah. So I can't remember if I shared, we did NaNo. Like, I can't remember. We talked about this last year. I know we talked about NaNo, but
yeah, briefly.
I can't remember if I shared my little like bullet journal Bujo page for NaNo and like how I do it. So I obviously keep track of daily word count. NaNo will, like, you know, you can put it into NaNo, but and they'll show you a chart and stats and graphs and all that stuff. But for me, as someone who uses a bullet journal, I also track it there, and that works better for me. So high level, what I do is I break down, you know, so if you average it all out, it's about 1,667 words a day is what you're aiming for to get to 50,000. So I break it down by week and decide where I need to be at the end of the week to stay on track. And so then on, and I define it by the end of Saturday. So on Sunday, I go back and like look and see where I am and, you know, am I on track? And then I have a little calendar where I write down all of my daily word counts. And then I have a chart of little tiny squares where each square counts for 100 words and I color it in. So that at the end, I have a very pretty graph that's all colored in with different colors. And I can see like, oh, I did not write that many words on that day. Or, oh, I wrote like 6,000 words on this other day, which is how I finished early. Yeah.
And you do. So for people that like saying you have to write 1,600 words per day, like might sound overwhelming to people, but you do. Are you still doing the sprints?
Sprints. I do sprints. So, yes, I write almost exclusively in sprints. Even when I'm not doing NaNo, I write in sprints, which means I set a timer, I do it in 15 minutes. You can do whatever works for you. And I just write and it like shuts my brain off, somehow magically. And I don't really think about it. The words are terrible because it's a first draft and the words are always terrible in a first draft, but at least I get them out there. I think it's a quote from Shannon Hale who has talked about how NaNo is about, it's really about like getting sand into the sandbox so you can build castles later. So just like get those words on the page, just like shovel them in, mm-hmm. whatever it takes, no matter how terrible, because you can go back and fix it later. Yeah, so I write in sprints. Usually I can do it in like 3 to 4 15-minute sprints, so like 45 to 60 minutes. I write before work. Luckily, I'm not going anywhere, so I don't have to wake up super early. So I write for an hour at my desk and then switch computers to work. yeah, and so that's how I do it, is with sprints. I know other writers who've adopted sprints too. The one thing I always do, which I have found is very helpful, because yeah, if you're like 1600 words a day, that's a lot, especially if you start to fall behind, that becomes overwhelming. And what I try to do is I don't outline. I maybe know like two or three scenes ahead of where I'm currently working. But because I write romance, there's like an overarching, like I'm well aware of what happens at the end. And I, once I hit my word count of the 16, you know, 16, 67, whatever, I, depending on where I am, I might write a little bit more to both add a bit of a buffer and also get myself to a place where I stop in the middle of a really good section or like right before a really good section so that I'm then excited to come back the next day.
Well, plus you also give yourself like somewhere that you know where you are going to start. Like, wasn't it, I think like Hemingway said that he used to like stop literally in the middle of a sentence. So like he knew the next day he would have like a way to kick yourself. So you don't like when you sit down in the morning, you're not like, okay, blank screen. What was I going to do now?
Correct. Yes. Yeah. I will usually end at the end of a scene going into one that is right. Or yes, I have stopped in the middle of a scene if it's like right before a section, you know. I mean, I could obviously keep writing. There's nothing to stop me from doing that. But I clearly, you can write as much as you want on a given day. But for me, this is what keeps me like okay with the daily habit. We'll see if it continues. It's day four, so who knows?
Yeah, but I mean, it's day four, but like I will say, you having, you know, having known you now for 5 years and watching you do this a few times, like I feel like you are more like diligent at this than most people I know. And I think it is because you have your, like exactly what you said, like you, we joke around all the time about like our reading, like tracking, and I have like your spreadsheet and everything, but like I think is a thing where there's two things, like there's two aspects about it. Like one, like you said, like you don't really worry about a big outline of where you're going to go in the actual story, you just kind of go. But at the same time, what you do have outlined is like a plan for approaching the, like you said, getting the sand in the sandbox. Like use all of your planning for how you're going to approach the process of writing. Don't use your planning for the story itself, because like you said, it'll change.
I mean, some people plan and they're fine. You know, like some people are planners. I'm not a planner. I have tried outlining and it never works for me. So I have a very high level understanding of what's happening. And I have some of the, you know, sort of beats figured out. And so when I sit down, it's basically like, how am I getting from this beat to this beat? And then from that beat to the next beat is basically what I do.
Yeah. And there's been, I mean, there's been all sorts of examples of books that kind of, like you said, have been written during NaNoWriMo that have become very big deals. The most famous one is probably this, you know, The Night Circus by Erin Morgenstern, which I love that every November, and I saw her tweet it on the 1st of November this year. She was like, yearly reminder that The Night Circus was not written in one NaNoWriMo. It was written over multiple NaNoWriMos. Yes. And the, she said something like, the story that I wrote in that first NaNoWriMo was literally, she's like, I think like one sentence of that was in the actual final book. Yeah. So
that happens too.
But exactly. But I think that's like, she's doing exactly what you said. She's putting the sand in the sandbox so that then you can shape it later. So, so those are some tips by Jill. And now we can both talk about another book before I think we both at 10 have to go to a meeting where we're going to be told about our health insurance, I think.
It's gonna be great. It's
gonna fun
be great.
Stuff. All right, fun you want to talk about one more book?
Yeah, so I read When No One Is Watching by Alyssa Cole. So I've mentioned Alyssa Cole's romance books before. This is a thriller. It is so good. How do I describe it? So first, Alyssa's Black, and this is sort of like the movie Get Out, but like dealing with gentrification in Brooklyn. Probably the best way to put it. So, so Sydney is Black. She lives in Brooklyn in an apartment that she, or a townhouse that she grew up in a Black neighborhood. And then all the white people start coming in and changing the demographic of the neighborhood, and not just sort of changing the demographic, but the older, Black residents start going missing, and it sort of discusses gentrification and redlining because there's a corporation that wants to kind of raise part of this neighborhood and build a big pharmacy or like a hospital or whatever. So it's not really your normal thriller type plot or setting, but it's really good. It's very timely. And I highly, highly recommend it. So that is When No One Is Watching.
My other one that I'm listening to right now is Miss Benson's Beetle by Rachel Joyce. I think I talked about it. It might've been the preview of November or previously at some point, but it's very soothing and very delightful. I've definitely been trying to find books that are just going to make me smile just to, you know, kind of have a little bit of stress relief. So it's after World War II. It's like 1950, and our main character, Marjorie, she's a school teacher and a spinster. She's a single older woman living by herself, and she's miserable and decides basically one day she's going to quit her job and she's going to go in this expedition into New Caledonia, which is in the southeastern part of the world, like near Australia, New Zealand, to try and find this golden beetle that was in this book that her dad read to her when she was really young. She had four brothers growing up, and they all died on the same day in the war. And that led to her father committing suicide. So she has no family. And so she's just trying to go on this adventure. And she ends up with this woman who joins her to be her assistant, who like couldn't be more different. It's a very odd couple type of a situation. But of course there, as they travel to New Caledonia, like the first half of the book is them traveling there, and they realize that, you know, how much they need each other and how great their friendship is. And it's a mix of like self-discovery and just like this, it's just a really, it's like The Odd Couple. It's just like a really fun, all their conversations are like, one of them's talking too much and the other one is like, oh my God, just please shut up. And then as soon as they're separated, the one who was telling her, the one who wouldn't stop talking to shut up, she's like, you know what? I really miss all that noise that was going on. So Enid and Marjorie are the two characters, and they just like, they make me really, really happy, and they are delightful, and it's exactly what I was hoping it would be. I think I mentioned it was giving me Lillian Bock's Fish Takes a Walk vibes when I previewed it, and it's exactly that. Like, it's just delightful. It's just like a really good, like, feel good, you know, they're trying to find a beetle, but that's really just like the crux of the story to everything else. So that is Miss Benson's Beetle by Rachel Joyce. Really, really good stuff. So,
okay.
All right. Those are a couple books and Jill's NaNoWriMo tips. Sorry, it was a short one, but we didn't have the brain space to do a big collection. We'll do that again for you guys next week.
Yep.
Anything else people should know about?
I don't think so.
Okay. Hope you guys enjoyed this episode of Professional Book Nerds Podcast.
Readers can sample and borrow the titles mentioned in today's episode from overdrive.com, and our library friends can purchase these titles in Marketplace. Professional Book Nerds is proud to be an Evergreen Podcast signature program. To learn about other Evergreen podcasts, visit evergreenpodcasts.com. Our podcast is produced, recorded, and edited by Adam Sokol and Jill Grunewald, and presented by Overdrive. For more information, visit professionalbooknerds.com.
Hello, and welcome to Novel Conversations, a podcast about the world's greatest stories. I'm your host, Frank Lavallo, and for each episode of Novel Conversations, I talk to two readers about one book, and together, we summarize the story for you. We introduce you to the characters, we tell you what happens to them, and we read from the book along the way. So if you love hearing a good story, you're in the right place. Our ninth season is coming this fall. Tune in to hear from some of the all-time great authors, Charles Dickens, Jules Verne, F. Scott Fitzgerald, and more. Subscribe to Novel Conversations wherever you listen to podcasts.